Be careful, and it happens in the dressing room. Like that's where the beginning of modesty is, because if you don't have modest things in your closet, you can't be modest.
I don't want to wear a two-piece bathing suit because it's like going outside with my underwear on. Why? I wouldn't go outside in my underwear, so why would I go outside in a string bikini?
Look, you may not realize it, but fashions that are common among prostitutes 10 years later become mainline.
Thank you.
They are the ones who set the standard.
You know, how are you supposed to have a pure mind if you're saying the complete opposite thing by the way you dress? I really wish the girls understood that.
Yeah, I don't think that when the females, they dress immodestly, they don't realize what it causes men to do.
I think the problem is that girls don't realize the male's point of view, and they need to hear it from a guy, not just from girls, because they haven't actually had that.
It's because they're so polluted, their minds have been so polluted, that all they think about and all they want right now is a girl who's dressed immodestly.
It's just in no one situation to dress immodestly.
Okay, you're only interested in one thing.
Yeah, one thing. Catholic school girls are just as bad.
We never taught that. I went through Catholic school my entire life, kindergarten through 12th grade. I never heard exactly what the teachings were on modesty.
I'm confused about that. It doesn't make any sense.
Honestly, I don't believe that most females think that they're dressing immodestly. I would say that most women think that they're dressing modestly.
It might not affect them, themselves, but it affects other people, like men, because they're sins of thought, and they don't realize that because they haven't had the male's point of view in seeing someone dressed immodestly.
When the females, they dress immodestly, they don't realize what it causes men to do.
They think that we human beings are like water faucets. Now you just turn it off, turn it on. No, we're far more complicated than that.
Men are visual, and our eyes will follow lines, and we'll fill in parts of a picture that aren't there. If you have a picture of, you know, a person's face, but it's missing an eyeball, or it's missing a mouth, we'll be able to draw that in for you. And our minds automatically kind of fill in the missing blanks. So when you're wearing short shorts or tight shorts, we're following the lines of your legs, and although you think, well, why do they look at my rear end? My rear end's covered. But we see so much, and then we see so much here that we're filling in the blanks with our minds, not even meaning to. We're not out looking for it. Our eyes are just directed there. The same thing when a woman wears a low-cut top, he's following the lines of her cleavage to this unknown space that's covered up. And then with his mind, automatically, he's not even trying, the mind just automatically tries to fill in the blanks. What goes here? What belongs here? What would be here? And how much more in tight clothing? What people don't realize is that they might think, well, I'm wearing nice pants, they're nice, yeah, they're a little tight, they're stretch pants. But for a guy, you might as well, the way a guy sees it, is that she might as well not even be wearing pants. That's just what her rear end and her legs would look like if they were painted black.
Girls don't understand how much, because they don't really understand how a guy is and works and feels and experiences things as much, because totally different from a girl. But guys are very visual, sensory, and girls very sentimental kind of stuff. But I don't think they realize completely how their influence is so much more powerful than most girls understand.
They've never been taught the way the man thinks. And anytime the issue's been brought up, then women will just make an excuse and say things like, It's his problem. He must be a pervert. He must be looking for sex. He must be... But it's not true. People don't realize just how serious the problem is. And I think the only people who realize it are young men out there who are really, truly striving to be holy and striving to be pure. And only when you're trying to be holy and pure do you realize the stumbling blocks. But if you're falling forward down into hell, well, of course you're not going to notice all the little, like, rocks that you hit along the way. Well, it's only when you're trying to, like, walk up the hill are you going to notice all the obstacles. Any male is, and he's supposed to be physically attracted to a woman. And he's supposed to be physically attracted to her private parts. That's why they're private. Because you don't want every man, his chemical reactions start going off in his head. But the difference becomes where, what happens after that chemical reaction goes off? Does a man try to redirect his thoughts? Does he have recourse to prayer? Does he try to remind himself that this is not appropriate? And but regardless, if a girl is dressed immodest, she's causing him to start a battle within himself. And it's a battle that's very easily lost.
It happens to everyone. It's not just a few people, in that it's something that'll be a lot easier if they just dress more modestly.
This one young woman wrote in. She identified herself in her mid-20s. And she said that she could go out, say, to dinner with some young man, and she could dress as provocatively as she wanted, and during the meal she could just flirt with him outrageously, and then after he was all aroused and so forth, can just walk away from him. That's his problem. Well, that is certainly not loving one's neighbor as oneself. I mean, we're supposed to be assisting one another on our way to God, not being a stumbling block for other persons. There's no appreciation, I believe, of the responsibilities we have to one another.
Oh, it's so easy to rationalize yourself out of wearing something modest. Like, one, oh, it's hot outside.
It's hot outside, is it? That's just an excuse that people are making up to make themselves feel better for the way that they're dressing.
No, you are putting men in a situation of temptation. And if they fall, you will have some responsibility for that.
Women, they do have that obligation to dress modestly because, like I said, it causes sin. And when you cause sin, that's a sin in itself. So I think to avoid sin for themselves and for others, they need to dress modestly.
Our Lord, in the Gospels, he says that if one causes another weak person, that is, he says little ones, if someone causes one of these little ones of mine to sin, it would be better that that person had never been born, or if a millstone had been tied about his neck and he cast into the depths of the sea.
You have to follow the church's exact guidelines. It has to be to the knee, or in their sleeves have to be covered, and it can't be a low-cut top. But I mean, it's just the fact that people would want to change the definition of modesty. They would stretch it, like stretch the truth, just so it's easier on themselves. It's just showing a laziness, and they don't want to have to change. And they're just trying to justify what they're doing is right, when it actually is completely wrong.
During the pontificate of Pope Pius XI, he had the Holy See issue standards for modesty, but they weren't complete. They didn't go through every little aspect and every little detail and talk about all these situations. Well, what if, you know, because you can't foresee the crazy outfits that people would come up with today. I'm sure that if we tried, we could come up with a crazy outfit that met these standards that were first put out by the Holy See and find a way to still be grossly immodest.
What was your opinion when you first heard about it? Like, how did you first react, your instinct?
Well, my instinct was, like, no, I don't want to listen to this. You know, because, like, society today is so, you know, it's so immodest. And when you grow up like that, like, and even if you're, like, because my parents taught me modesty and, you know, but it's just, like, you know, even going to Catholic school and just everything, like, the mall, the movies, it's, no one cares about modesty, and that's not important. So, I mean, when you grow up with that, it's like, well, no, I don't want to listen to that, like, because that's not how I grew up. Well, I know right away when, like, I heard the church's teachings, all I was asking was why. For some of the things that I didn't completely understand, like the bottoms reaching to your knees and even quarter-length shirts, even though I never really wore tank tops or spaghetti straps or anything, but I just wanted to know why. Because that's just the thing that gets me. I mean, everyone wants to know the reason behind it.
You know, girls are told, don't do this, don't do that. But, you know, don't all the time. But we're never told why. You know, why shouldn't we dress this way? Don't just tell us, well, don't wear, you know, short shorts or don't wear, you know, tight pants. Why? You know, why can't we? And that's what a lot of the times that's what is missing from talks to girls is, well, this is the reasons why you shouldn't be doing the things that you're doing.
People want to know why they need to, well, why do I need to believe that, you know? And if it's true, it should be able to be defended. So if immodesty is wrong and if certain uniforms are inappropriate, it should be able to be defended with why.
There are going to be men who are looking to sin. There are going to be men who want, you know, inappropriate things from you, who are going to be pushing, who are going to be harassing you. They're going to come no matter what, the way you dress, no matter what. They're just some bad men out there. And those men have their own problems to deal with. You don't have to do anything to help those guys out. They want evil. They're seeking it. But these minimum standards are going to help you not scandalize, not lead another person to sin, who's your average Joe, who's really striving to be holy. People like me, people like my students, people like the church-going men, the good fathers who are taking their families to church. It's going to help them stay out of grave sin. And then even more so, it's going to help the adolescents who are having hormonal changes in their life. It's going to help those young students, those elementary school students who are learning how to, like, form their morals and get their background. So this is what these standards are going to do. They're not our enemy. They are a help. So often we see the church as an enemy, giving us these burdens and rules, but in reality, they're only saying it because it's true, and it's for our own good. And so the standards are obvious if you think about them. No garment, no shorts, no skirt, no dress, male or female, should be shorter than the knees. That makes sense. If men find women's thighs attractive and people say, ooh, I like your legs, girl, well, you don't have to worry about that. Okay? No, nothing shorter than the knees. And then the sleeves, minimum quarter length. And this minimum is not the ideal. This is just the minimum. And then the neck, it was originally voiced as two fingers' breadths beneath the pit of the throat. But due to market conditions and due to the way people use language, it translates essentially to about 2 inches beneath the pit of the throat, which is actually a good bit. Like, you don't even see the pit of my throat in the shirt that I'm wearing. So, and that's it. Those are the standards put out originally. Obviously, we could always add to those if this is their intention to keep people from sin. And that'd be what? No tight-fitting clothing. No clothing that it might be two fingers' breadths here, but it's so loose that when you lean over it, everybody can see down your shirt. No see-through clothing. No clothing that is meant to look like the color of your skin tone, or any transparent materials that are going to make men's curiosity be unnecessary, because clothing primarily is supposed to be to cover. So when we say marry like modesty and marry like clothing, that doesn't mean you have to dress like a first century Palestinian woman. You can dress with the same standards of modesty, but according to today's contemporary fashions, within reason.
You are in tune to the life of grace and understand God's presence in your life, you don't have a reason to be modest. Like, you would have no motivation. Okay, I can only go off of my own experience of how I came to have my own self-worth. And I would say that I picked it up because of my prayer life, because I immersed myself in the writings of the saints and how they viewed themselves as precious in God's eyes. And because I immersed myself in that, I began to pick up that way of thinking, you know, that how loved I am, how forgiven I am. I would have never been prepared for marriage, for dating, for anything, if I had not first developed a relationship with my first love, which is Christ. You know, I guess contemplation played its role in the fact that I would visit the Blessed Sacrament. I would place myself there. And when you see yourself in that light, you will never settle for anything less than absolute respect from someone. And so when I met my husband, the way he treated me was with the reverence that I felt Christ treating me when I was in his presence. And so if it would not have been that way, it's like, no, I would have never married him. I would have never even considered having a relationship with him.
Persons who are immodest in their dress, etc., they're not very conscious of the fact that they are destined for marriage.
People go to bars and clubs all the time looking for somebody to marry them, but you wouldn't go to a furniture store looking for a barbecue sandwich, so why would you go to a bar looking for a husband? You know, and so the guys that are looking at you when you're dressed like that aren't the guys that are going to treat you right. You know, the next time they see a girl that's dressed like that, they're going to just follow that girl.
I think you should think about your vocation, and if you're looking at the married life and, you know, you're looking for a future spouse, would you want your husband to just marry you because of your body? Because when you get older, it gets wrinkly and saggy and gross, and they're not going to want you anymore. They're going to go for the younger girls, and you're going to be left alone. But it's really important that you cover that part up, because my theology teacher, he says no one likes an unwrapped present, and that's like the beauty of marriage, is that when you get married, you get to unwrap your present, and it's beautiful because it's been wrapped and it's been saved that whole time.
When two people come to marriage pretty innocently, and then there is marriage, there is a big explosion that takes place, and there's a bonding that occurs.
And I will say that it was years and years and years before my modesty attracted the attention that I was waiting for, but it was worth the wait. It was worth the wait because I have an amazing relationship with my husband that I wouldn't trade for anything. And I'm glad that when I hear girls tell all these stories about, oh, this guy, that, and oh, I dated him and it was horrible, I'm glad that I missed all that. You know, hating guys and this and that. All guys are jerks. Because I have to say, not all guys are jerks. And, you know, if you're modest, you will get to experience that.
Is living modesty difficult?
In today's society, it is. It can be a cross, but it's not like something like, oh, I don't want to, you know, have to deal with that. But once you really starts to take effect in you, you want to dress modestly, and you don't care what's going against you. You just want to dress modestly, and at times it's difficult. At times you want to give up, but then you realize again, I can't give up. I am being a light to others around me, and I have to stay a light. I can't just burn out, because then where's the world going to go? I've been chosen by God to dress modestly, and I need to spread that to others.
Purity makes the heart grow stronger, whether you're destined for marriage or whether you're destined to be one of those who voluntarily renounce marriage for the sake of the kingdom of heaven.
Yeah.
Reason why we do not have persons responding to God's call is the ways in which they have become entangled with sexual sin. And therefore they can't hear the come follow me words of our Lord. They are captives, huh? And so this would be another reason why it's important. For the sake of those who are going to be marrying, it's important for their future married life. For the sake of those who are being called to voluntarily renounce marriage for the sake of the kingdom of heaven, it's important.
Immodesty, the daily immodesty would lead to the like immodesty on the internet, or
absolutely. If you know you're daily lusting about the people that you can't get, that you just see on the street, you're going to be like, well, you know, why not take it a step further and why not see everything?
If people post themselves like in swimsuits, or girls do post themselves in swimsuits on the internet, I think that what they're doing is they might be trying to impress people, or they just might not know what they're doing is wrong because no one's told them the truth and they haven't heard it yet, so they don't know what they're doing.
Would you say that like their bikini pictures is like the poor man's swimsuit illustrated issue, or like this the Victoria's Secret for the guy who likes the girls next door?
It's the everyday Joe's, or it's the high school person's tangible porn. Because, you know, you look at the SI models or whatever, and you're like, well, you know, that's just a hopeless cause. I'm never going to meet her or get with her. But then you see one of your friends, and you're like, is that what she's like? Well, maybe if I, and then, oh, I can get that.
Yeah.
Things completely change.
It used to be that we were concerned about protecting adolescents from pornography. Now the adolescents are producing it. That's what 15-year-old girls are doing when they send photographs of themselves out like that.
They know that they're posting their picture on the internet and that people are looking at it, because wow, that's what they posted. And people will say things like, ooh, you're sexy, and things like that, right? The girls will say that. But those teenage girls don't realize is that they're definitely causing, that's definitely a grave situation. That's definitely a grave evil. That there's no way that you're not going to stir up lust in a young man who's using the computer, not looking for it, but knowing the nature of the privacy of a computer, and there are the pictures, and there's many of them, and you can just flip through any ones you want. Well, he's already, by looking and not turning away immediately, he's already going to be, you know, walking down the wrong path. So why do you put it up there?
Why do you think they put it up there?
So that people will say, yo, sexy.
For the attention.
But and they do it for the attention, but I don't think they realize that it's causing grave sin. If you know this now, if you know that you're causing men to lust, and especially by putting more than one picture, which is making it like look more. So a girl puts one picture up, the guy has to turn his eyes. If you know a guy has to turn his eyes, don't put the picture up. If you put more than one picture up, not only does the guy have to turn his eyes, you're inviting him to look more. If this is a situation and you don't take it down, don't go to communion, because you're committing a grave sin. And when you die, and there is a God, we can know this from our human reason, and he is a just God, we know this from our human reason, and you've not repented of it, it's going to be two photos, three photos, that is going to keep you in hell for eternity. So what do? You repent. Oh, Lord, I didn't know. You delete it. Do you go to communion still? Yeah, you didn't know. Unless you did know, in that case, you go to confession. I would still mention it in confession. Just mention it to the Father. I didn't know. Nobody taught me. Nobody told me. I didn't realize that this was such a big problem with guys.
I want to ask you how you view a modest girl. Is it time for that?
You can ask me that. It's time for whatever you want.
Okay. When you see a modest girl, when you see a girl dressed modestly, what do you think? What goes through your head, your mind?
I'll give you the extreme. And then it'll better help me explain what goes through my mind when I just see an average modest girl, like your typical everyday modest girl, which is not every day. When I see a girl who's dressed modestly and she's irreverent, like prostrate on the ground before the Blessed Sacrament, and if she's wearing a veil, it's enough to make me cry. It's enough to make me cry thinking about it. Because what women have to realize is that beauty, real beauty, causes people to question their existence, the meaning of their life, in a very positive way. It's enough to make me cry just thinking about it right now, like on camera. That real beauty makes a man question his existence in a positive way. And so real beauty, well, shows just how God is, just how supreme, just how powerful, just how merciful, just how humble he is. And so when you see the most beautiful of all of God's creatures covered up, and then in absolute humility before him, there's nothing more beautiful than that, than seeing God's most beautiful creature in reverence, in not just reverence, prostration, even with her hair covered before him. It's enough to make me cry because it's just so beautiful. And so when I see a person outside of that circumstance who's dressed modestly, and especially knowing that the world is against her, I think automatically, one, this girl is beautiful, even if I didn't even have time to think about the fact that the world's against her, this person's beautiful. They know they're beautiful. They know what life's about. They know that they're special. They might or might not have the body that men are lusting over, but they know that that's not what's important, that there's more to life than this, like, 3 minutes of fleeting pleasure. And so I'm in awe, and my heart gets little butterflies, and not in a bad way, in a way that makes me want to be more pure, that makes me want to be a better man. And it reminds me of who I am and what I was created for.
So you feel complete respect and reverence.
I feel love. I love them. I love modest girls. They don't have to be, I just love them. I love them because they're showing me God. They're helping me to be holy. They're helping me to be pure. They're reminding me of the meaning of my life. So I might go through my day and see hundreds of immodest girls, which thank you, Jesus, that I don't. But what if you even see one immodest girl, that's an outward sign saying it's not true. There's nothing but this earthly life. This is what you want, this sexual pleasure, this lust, come on. But when you see a modest girl, it reminds you, no, there's more to life than just temporal pleasures. And it's beautiful.
There was a girl at my old school who was just like this. Like, when they realize how beautiful they are, then it starts showing. And it's just a special factor. When they walk into the room, you're like, wow. It's not that they're like the most beautiful girl you've ever seen, but it's just that self-respect and confidence really shows, and it's easy to pick up on, and then it's easy to be attracted to because you're like, wow, she's good, she's wholesome, she's not worried about what other people think, she's modest, and she's holy, really holy. So it's a lot easier for you to respect that.
Every day you walk out the door dressed modestly, you have an impact on others around you, and you probably don't know it, and they might make fun of you for it, but it's because that's their insecurity talking, and it's not their hearts, because our hearts we're made to want happiness and want good, and when we know good, we see it. So good wouldn't criticize good, but bad would. So I think it's other girls' insecurity. If you get criticized for it, I think it's their insecurity that's talking, it's not their hearts, because you have an impact on every single person who sees you.
I feel really passionately about this. Because it's true. And so when I see an immodest girl, I think emptiness, sadness. Even if they're not acting immodestly, I just feel sad. I know that there's a hole in their heart because they don't know how much they're worth. So what I hope that when women watch this video and they hear us talking about immodesty, that I hope that they realize it's not an attack on them, because of something that's wrong with them. It's more like a wake-up call saying, hello, you're worth so much. Stop acting like you're not worth anything. You're more valuable than the entire created universe. If it was between you and the created universe, God would choose you. There's no price tag you can put on one human soul. Why are you dressing like this? Why are you acting like this?
You know, just whatever she wears, that's reflecting on who she is and what she believes and what she holds herself accountable and what standard she lives by.
Modesty definitely leads to a pure life and chaste life, which is ultimately holiness.
Yes, men must go by the same standards of modesty that women do. And just the same way that purity is a struggle for men, modesty is like the female equivalent. And just as it's wrong for a man to physically overpower a woman, it's wrong for a woman to sexually overpower a man. And so there are issues that are different for each sex, and we need to keep that into consideration. Adam had what? His difficulty was in saying no and resisting the temptation that Eve was offering, and Eve was the one who's offering. So women are having this difficulty with offering these forbidden passions that are only reserved for the sacrament of matrimony.
Just the simple fact of putting on modest clothes can really change someone's spiritual life.
The most tempting time of modesty plays a role is during Mass, because that's like the most powerful Catholic service, because Christ is completely present in the Eucharist. And I don't want to have any struggles. I want to sing all the songs with everything I have and focus on the Eucharist. Sometimes, like when there's people dressed immodestly in front of me, I just can't. It's kind of hard to take your eyes off them. Mm-hmm. And instead of focusing on Jesus and the Eucharist, you focus on them. And then there it becomes lustful thoughts, and then that can lead to other things.
Every Mass on Sunday, I am much more in tune now to women who are dressed immodestly. And my eyes will, and I'm a woman, my eyes go right to those women who are dressed immodestly. And I just think, if they only knew the distraction they were causing men near them or around them, when men are trying to focus on Mass, focus on the Eucharist, focus on why they are there to worship God.
By the end of the Mass, you have no idea what just went on. Yeah. And then that can also lead to a sacrilegious communion as well.
We have clothes for people who are so secular, when they come into a church, they don't realize that they are in sacred space. Like Americans, they like try to go into St. Peter's in Rome, not properly dressed. And they are informed, you know, you cannot come in. You are not properly dressed. And I've heard that they have paper skirts that are sold that the females can put on. Well, we have wraparound skirts that we give to people who come in who aren't properly dressed for church. And we have shirts also that we give to the men who don't have proper shirts on.
Have you ever heard a sermon preached about immodesty?
Other than from you, no.
No.
No, I haven't. I think ever since I was a baby, I've always been Catholic all my life, and I've always been a pretty practicing Catholic, going to Mass almost every week that I can remember. No, never heard of one, especially not during a homily.
No, I cannot say I've ever heard a sermon on modesty or purity in a normal Sunday Mass, weekday Mass.
Where you've never heard the truth or an explanation of why even to be modest?
I have never heard an explanation of why to be modest, no. And I think it is critically needed right now.
Well, I think one thing that it would help is for them to realize that the majority of their parishioners, they want improvement. I talked a while ago about the clothing that we have. I didn't make those wraparound skirts. Women of our parish, they made them. They said, we've got to do something. We've got to do something. And they're the ones who came with the idea to me. And, of course, I was very, very pleased. And also they made the sign that we have there at the entrance of our church about what is proper dress and what is improper dress. So there is a large number of valuable parishioners who want a change for the better. I stopped having evening weddings here shortly after I became pastor because of the way the females dress at evening weddings. They dress very provocatively and outrageously compared to weddings that are earlier in the day.
Because they represent the church, and nuns represent the church, deacons represent the church. So a lot of times when people have a conception or thought about the church, they think of the closest person they know to the church. So if a priest is teaching subjective morality where you can, you know, times change, people change, styles change, well, God doesn't change, you know.
I've always been conscious of something that Pius XII lamented starting in the 1950s. He was lamenting the loss of a sense of sin. So like we said a while ago, if modesty is sort of the guard of chastity, if people have lost any sense of sin as regards sexual sin, well then modesty, of course, is going to be of no worth.
It has to infiltrate from the top down, and the kids are not getting it, and so many of them are lost.
Seventh grade, I already can tell that it's a problem, because people, like some of my friends even, they do dress immodest, but I think they haven't heard the straightforward truth, and so they don't know what they're doing.
I can't tell you the number of people I've spoken to recently whose children have graduated from Catholic schools, Catholic high schools, who were very involved in sexual activity during their days at the Catholic schools. Drugs, taking drugs while they were at the schools, drinking alcohol. Many of them now are in treatment for drugs, alcohol. I can imagine how many are sexually promiscuous today because they did not get it from the authority, from those who were responsible for their souls, for guiding them. And it is falling upon them. It's falling on their shoulders. Falling on their shoulders, and they have the responsibility. These children are entrusted to their care, and they have the responsibility, as difficult as it may be. I think they fear a loss of funding. They fear a loss of support, financial support. I think they think they're going to get a lot of flack, which they will. They might. But what matters is the protection of the souls of these young people that are entrusted to their care.
Almost all of the girls' sports have immodest clothing, really.
Yes, a school definitely sends mixed messages. There is a double standard. It needs to be across the board. It needs to be across the board. Sports, no sports, daily uniform, mass day uniform, it all needs to be modest. There is no reason why a sports uniform is immodest. There's no reason for it.
Volleyball, I mean, the shorts, you can see part of their butt cheeks.
That is so unnecessary. It is so unnecessary. You can play sports. You can play volleyball with basketball-type shorts. You don't need
a few inches of spandex, really. There's no, I mean, with football, you know, you have all the pads on and you're still, you know, running in basketball, baggy clothes, and you're still playing sports, so it's unnecessary.
For instance, if a guy went to watch a volleyball game, I guarantee you almost every guy would not go to see girls play volleyball, but instead to stare at them lustfully.
So, obviously, if we're trying to live these standards of modesty, there are going to be girls and boys who have committed themselves, and this goes for boys too. No sleeves, that's not appropriate. Doesn't matter what your sport is. There are people who are swimmers. Maybe they're training for the Olympic swim team, wearing tight clothing. That's going to be a problem. And here's where you have options. It is not an option to continue playing your sport in your immodest clothing. That's not an option if you care about going to heaven, if you care about the good of your soul. Now, I can't judge you in the grave matter and consent and your deliberate and all this, all these little specifications, but objectively speaking, you're preferring to wear immodest clothing and playing this sport than the love of Jesus Christ? What's separating you in Christ? My desire to run on the track team, my desire to go swimming. That's not loving God above all else. Now, we fall into sin sometimes, yes, but we can't say, oh, I'm just going to continue to do this and it's going to be okay for me. Your options are to complain, try to get the entire school to change, then finally, be a witness. Wear modest clothes. Say, coach, I'll keep playing if I can wear this, if I can wear longer shorts, if I can wear a shirt with sleeves on it, if I can wear my t-shirt and my shorts to the pool, and I can still swim. How great of a witness would that be if you played like that and won? That'd be amazing. If you're the best soccer player on that team, go modest and kick the other team's, you know what. And then that would be a real witness. The day that, you know, the Olympic swimmer is wearing, you know, long shorts and a t-shirt and is beating, you know, Michael Phelps. That's going to be amazing. Those are your options. Quit or be a witness.
It only takes one girl to start a revolution.
We're not going to wear those tight little spandex shorts. We don't need that. It's not necessary. I think it would be an incredible witness for other schools. It would be an incredible witness for those boys and girls attending those schools. It would show them that the administrators, the parents, are supporting them. Where are the kids going to get this?
The last thing you want is people persecuting you. But if you have a lot of love and a lot of passion, and you really know what Christianity is about, you'll say, here's the truth. You don't like it? Your problem's not with me, your problem's with God.
I'm so convinced that a mother, it has to come from her mother. The mother sets the standard in the home, according to about dress. She has to see her mother dressing modestly. If the girl does not see her mother dressing modestly, she won't dress modestly. If it's not important to mom, it won't be important to the daughter.
If you're a mother and your daughter's trying to be modest, and she's having difficulty because she does not own the clothes because you don't have enough money, don't go to dinner. Don't go buy a new car. Don't go rent a movie. Go to the mall and buy your daughter some clothes. If your daughter has immodest clothing, support her, help her get rid of it, and say, don't worry, we'll go buy you some new clothes. We'll go right now. They might want to be modest. They might want to. But they're too weak to make the choice when it's actually time to get dressed. Especially when there's all these other clothes that they own that are immodest, and you only have one or two things to pick from that are modest, you're always going to pick the immodest. You have no other choice, even when you want to.
If you are choosing to become modest, you know, say you don't have a whole lot of modest clothing or whatever, it would be hard for you to decide to become modest by what's in your closet. It happens in the dressing room. Like, that's where the beginning of modesty is, because if you don't have modest things in your closet, you can't be modest.
They need to do this, or else they're never going to change. They'll just have this guilt feeling every time they see me. They'll have this guilt feeling every time they go to church. Every time some guy looks at them cross-eyed, they're going to have this guilt feeling. They don't need it. If they'll go to their closet, get rid of all of the immodest clothing, if for some reason they can't afford to go buy new clothing right now, well, they need to look at their clothing that they have and take a weekend or an evening, look at the clothing they have, and pair things together that they can layer up to be modest until they can afford modest clothing. And in the meantime, get that immodest clothing that they can't layer up and throw it in the trash. Don't even give it away, because you're just going to be spreading it. Don't even sell it. You'll get more treasure in heaven than when you can get on eBay.
Test what you try on. Like, when I sit down, what is this going to do? Is it going to come up? Are there sleeves? Like, what does it do in the back?
The parents need to set the standard in the house, because typically it's the mom and the dad that buy the that have the money to buy the clothes for the kids. So, and a lot of times the parents will say, okay, you can wear that, okay, you can't wear that. But why? You know, be more specific.
Dress modestly in front of your children.
Watch your language in front of your children. Set the example. Don't say one thing and do another. Sleep with modest clothing. Your children see you when you're relaxed at night, in the morning, early. Be modest. Dress modestly. Throughout, across the board, don't dress one way at home and then choose to dress another way to go out, because your children see you, your girls see you, your daughters see you, your sons see you. You have to be an example for your kids.
What parents have to realize is that when their kids are trying to live their Catholic faith, and maybe it's not convenient for them to take them to confession, maybe it's not convenient for them to take them to Mass, but they have to realize that if they really loved their kids, they would take them. Because I can assure you that a girl who goes to confession regularly and goes to daily Mass is going to be a lot more pure, a lot more holy, a lot more happy, a lot more fulfilled with her life. And it's not going to need these immodest boys who don't love her and just going to use her. She's not going to need that. She's not going to need attention. She's going to have attention from God, and she's going to realize who she is and how much she's worth. So take her. Don't let your own sin and your own life and your own pride and your own hard heart keep you from doing what's best for your child. That would be a terrible thing.
If you did not have a prayer life or a relationship with God, do you think it would be possible to make the choice to live modesty with the difficulties that you're aware of?
Well, if I didn't have a prayer life and I wasn't constantly in my relationship with God and Jesus, like especially in the Eucharist, I wouldn't have that grace enabling me and giving me the strength to fight this battle, because it's a daily battle. Because every day in this, like, you know, anywhere you go, you see girls dressed immodestly. God, in your relationship with Him, He gives you that strength and that grace to keep persevering and to keep at it and to not give up and not let go.
A lot of people maybe don't know how, when she appeared to those children at Fatima in Portugal in 1917, that she spoke about the fashions that were to come. And if you look at the photographs of the way that people dressed in Portugal in 1917,
it's almost next to impossible to purchase anything modest in a junior department, girls, where teens shop, and young. A lot of young women shop, young 20s. It's very difficult to purchase anything modest. We've tried. We have gone to the ladies section to purchase modest clothing. It's not difficult to purchase modest clothing in a ladies section. It is very difficult to purchase clothing in a junior section, in a junior department.
There are modest clothes out there.
There are. You can find it. You have to spend time. With the shorts especially, you'll have to get that. You'll have to use guys' shorts. Just the way it is for now. Eventually, Sophie's will go out of business. Until women decide, I'm only going to buy modest clothing. And when the stores are realizing that only these clothes are selling, then they'll start making more of those clothes. You will not find a bathing suit in any department store that is modest enough for swimming. Because what you have to understand is that there's no double standard because you want to get into water. When you go to the pool, men don't just all of a sudden, you know, oh, concupiscence, I'm going to put this in on the towel rack and then get in the water. No, they go to the pool with their concupiscence. They're going to want to see this girl in her bikini for as long as possible. He's going to see this girl in her short little tight shorts as long as possible. And there are guys who will quickly take a little photo of the girl at the pool party, who will take a photo of the girl who's wearing her volleyball shorts walking down the hall. Why? So he can go and stare at that later. Because, well, why not? If it's meant to be attractive to men, he wants to prolong that, he can prolong that, then what's from stopping him? There's never a situation where you should be dressed immodestly. Never. Never, 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 never. I know that's hard, because this is one of those things that if you get upset, you have to remember, you're only getting upset because you've been damaged in a way. We've been fed this. Our mothers took us to the pool. They have pools everywhere. We have pool parties. The schools have pools. The schools have swim teams. It's just so much a part of, just like, it's like a web that we're stuck in. You just have, and it's easy to get out. Just let it go.
I guess a girl has to be prepared to feel left out at times and to just let it roll off your shoulders.
If they change and they choose to dress modestly, they risk. They risk rejection. They risk losing friends. But they have to make that choice. They have to look themselves in the mirror and say, and really look at themselves at the way they're dressed and ask themselves, why am I dressed like this? Is this really who I want to be? Is this what I want to look like? What am I portraying myself as?
I do get more respect from guys, even though it's not like once you start dressing modestly, you know, guys will just be like, oh, you know, you're really beautiful inside. They're going to start treating you so much nicer, because they're not, honestly. They'll treat you with respect, but it's not going to be probably what a girl expects them to. Because they're so polluted, their minds have been so polluted, that all they think about and all they want right now at like their age, their adolescence, is a girl who's dressed immodestly, because that's all they've seen.
It is a big problem with modesty, with the way that men talk, to especially to women. I've heard multiple things from girls and, you know, girlfriends of mine, and they tell me, well, this guy said that he wanted to get with me in the, you know, the middle of the hallway, or, you know, just these nasty things that guys will say to women.
Do you lead him on? How do you react when he says those things? Are you only complaining to your girlfriends, oh, he said that to me to get attention? Or do you eat it up in his presence and give him a reason to continue speaking to you that way? And I think a lot of girls don't have the backbone to cut a guy off and tell them how offended they are by what they're saying and ask them, don't you ever say that to me again? Because you have to be firm with them or they're going to walk all over you. So I think girls need to understand that it's okay to be firm and upfront with a guy. You know, you don't treat me like that. I am worth more than what words are coming out of your mouth.
A girl dressing or a woman dressing immodest is going to get it, is going to get that from a man more than somebody dressing modestly.
There wouldn't be that dirty, weird, nasty locker room talk, lunchroom talk or whatever, because what would you be talking about? Because it's normally about, you know, this girl's easy. Or what she was not wearing, really, or, you know, and about at the dance, how she was all, you know, all up on everybody. But if they were dressed modestly, then there'd be such a more respect and a deeper, you know, well, maybe I could get to know her, or what's she really like?
Everybody knew they wanted purity. Do you think the guys would be more likely to defend the girls in those situations, or?
Yeah, I think so, because guys will defend the girl. They will protect them and they will follow them. So if the girl is holding herself to a high standard and she's dressing modestly and she wants purity in a relationship, that's what the guy's going to follow.
When women wear immodest clothes, you feel like less obligated to treat them with respect. When they cover up and they're modest, that's when you're like, oh wow, she really respects herself. She has a great personality. I mean, you look much more beyond their body, and you think the insides, and you see their heart and their personality, which is what matters.
I guess, very rarely come across guys who have treated me like they wanted my body, or like, oh, hey, hottie, or just very little. I feel like they avoided me, probably because they were scared of my reaction. They could tell by the way I was dressed that they were in for a rejection. So they never even tried.
That's good. Like, what advice would you give her to keep pushing her forward?
They're being a child of God, and they're being like Mary, like the example she set, and that it might be hard to do it, but then they're stopping so many other people from sinning.
What do you tell a girl who's dressing modestly or is trying to dress modestly but is struggling with it?
Persevere. Persevere, pray. God will give you the grace. He will guide you. Blessed Mother will guide you. Don't give up. Don't give up. You persevere.
What message would you want to give that you find the most important?
Purity makes the heart grow stronger. I think that says it all.
What advice would you give to guys who are trying to avoid the whole problems involved with immodesty?
To guys, just be totally courageous and tell the girls flat out, but be respectful when you're telling them. Just say, Yeah, it's so much easier for me to respect you when you dress modestly. It keeps me out of sin. And then it's a lot easier relationship because it's not just about physical. And when they do feel modest, you're much more attractive and you have that special glow. And just explaining that to girls and explaining how beautiful they are on the inside and how much God created them, it really could make a difference and it just spread modesty very quickly.
Why is modesty so important?
Somebody says you're a modest person. You're talking about the very core of who you are. Dress, the way I speak, the way I act should reflect that I believe that God, I'm so important that God would find it necessary to die for me. So at the heart of modesty is my dignity as being made in the image and likeness of God. My dignity even more being that God became a man to die for me. And my responsibility to live like that.
What advice would you give to a girl who's dressed immodestly, who's watching this with a hard heart because somebody's making them?
I would tell them to really just, first of all, even though you may not want to, you may be doing this against your will, but just say a quick prayer. Say, Holy Spirit, soften my heart, open my eyes, and just keep saying that over and over again. Think about your vocation, either if you want to be a religious, like a nun or a sister, or in the married life, or single blessedness. Think about how immodesty is helping you get to either of those vocations. And think about the good that would come from immodesty. Just do it. Who cares? Who cares what others are gonna think? Who cares if you're kicked out of your little group of friends? Who cares if, you know, you're not popular anymore? Who cares? Because you'll be so much happier when you do it. And you won't care what other people think. You will grow more stable in who you are, and you'll have more respect for yourself, and you won't care what others think about you. And just take that leap of faith, because you'll be so happy you did it.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, as it is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
Good.
Well, I think if all the girls in my grade started dressed modestly, then guys would become more modest in what they say and how they treat them.
We were made for babies.
I'm sorry.
You said babies. I want myself to be the only one.
They'll bend down to show their parts. Oh, yeah, this girl's hot.
She's like bending over.
Yeah, she's bending over, lifting.
It's really hard to say no to that temptation when it's presented, especially in such an easy way, just like that. I mean,
that guy came
in. I mean, yeah, it really is just. I even looked in the mirror and I said, Mary, don't take who I am.
Don't take this stunning guy.
Yeah.
And the world loves me. The love when I walk my giant prostate. Don't make me this. Say ABCs.
ABCs? You mean to say them?
Yeah, say the ABCs.
A, B, C, D, E, F, G.
Why do you wear a chapstick?
You have the answer that you said one time.
Go ahead.
Because I am beautiful. Someone more beautiful than I am.
You have to say, like, what are your own reasons?
A, B, C, D, E, F, G.
Okay, ready?
I think I should dress modestly because...
What is one of the new forms of exercise for women?
Yoga or...
Where have you been? Pole dancing. Yeah, it's glamorous to be able to pole dance.